last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Now, to explain what it all means for Ireland, Donald Trump's tariffs plans, we're joined by Kate English, Chief Economist with Deloitte, but first by economics journalist Paul Colgan. Paul, thank you very much for joining us. Can you explain, as simply as possible, reciprocal tariffs?
Well, the US runs a big trade deficit with the rest of the world, and Donald Trump is obsessed by this, and he believes that it is trade policies that dictates that deficit, and he wants to readdress them. So he's tasked his staff with going around the world, country by country, and looking at what is levied against US imports into those countries. And if he finds that it's not fair or unbalanced, he will apply the same tariffs or levies on products coming from those countries into the US. A reciprocal measure. However, what has upended the apple cart is the mention of VAT. So specifically when he's talking about the European Union, he's thinking not only of the tariffs, he's thinking of the VAT that is applied to those products when they're sold in domestic economies here. And that is what's really making it difficult for European policymakers to figure out, how do you negotiate around this if he's going to insist that VAT is a core component of it?
Hold on. VAT is something that is charged to consumers in anything they buy, irrespective of where it comes from, surely. Now, so that means that American products aren't being put at a disadvantage by comparison with European-made products, surely?
No, they're not. So it doesn't matter where the product came from, you pay the same VAT on it. Now, the big issue is it's a massive revenue generator. Up until recently, it was the second biggest tax head in this country, surpassed by corporation tax. So governments are not going to be able to put that back on the table and say, well, we're going to cut our VAT rates in order to make you happy. They can't go near that. So they're going to have to figure out another way around this, another way of keeping him happy, if that's what they intend to do.
But also, back in the United States, they may not have VAT, so to speak, but don't they have...
On a state-by-state basis.
They have a likewise tax, a state sales tax.
On average, it would be lower, and that's, I suppose, what he's getting at. But it's the fact that this plan is so vast and would completely overturn the global trading system as we have known it over the past 30 years, which is really bamboozling a lot of people. The markets have reacted calmly. I think the line that was used today by one analyst was, this is big, but it's slow, because it is so difficult to go on a country-by-country basis. Not even Trump's team are going to be able to turn this around quickly.
Well, he said by the 1st of April, didn't he?
Well, Howard Lutnick, his Commerce Secretary, said we could have a plan in place by April 1st, but there's a lot of...
Do they have April Fool's Day in Washington?
Feels like every day is. But so there's some scepticism as to whether they could implement these reciprocal tariffs. The other issue is he also last night went after specific sectors and products that he is obsessed with. So the automotive industry, he wants to know why European consumers aren't buying American cars. And he's convinced that it's because of the 10% tariff that is applied to them and not the fact that they're big and uneconomical.
Well, that's what we're going to be discussing in about 10 to 5, yes.
But the EU have already indicated that they're prepared to bring that tariff down because it's much lower in the US. It's 2.5% on BMWs and Mercedes that come into America. So there's room to negotiate around things like that. So we'll have to see how serious he is on the VAT.
Oh, wait, sorry, I'll come back to that in a second. But actually, when you say country by country basis, does that mean Ireland will be looked at individually, or will it be looked at as part of the European Union bloc?
He can look at us individually. He can do whatever he wants, I suppose. But it's an EU competency when it comes to trade policy. So if we want to retaliate, it'll have to be at an EU level and it'll have to be coordinated there. The problem is...
Sorry, could he have different approaches to different countries and then, rather than us trying to be able to do a deal in response to America, we would actually have to follow the EU line?
Yeah, our hands would be tied to that extent. Obviously, we'd feed into the process, but there's so many competing interests across Europe. The French will be worried about their digital services tax, which he's going after. Our problem is the pharmaceutical industry is one that he is very keen to address. It's the big reason why we have such a trade surplus with America.
So what does he want? Does he want all of the American companies manufacturing pharmaceuticals in Ireland to shutter their facilities here and do all their production in the United States instead?
Well, he wants to see in the future that if there's any new investments or any new factories or any new plants or any new R&D, that it's in the States. It would be, I think even he would recognise it would be impractical to ask them to up sticks when it comes to the...
He wouldn't necessarily recognise. He doesn't think like most people think.
Well, the people around him, you would imagine, would recognise that that's a difficult thing to achieve. We saw the chief executive of Pfizer, Albert Bourla, go to Mar-a-Lago in the first week of January before Trump was even inaugurated, and he had intense behind-the-scenes talks. We don't know what came out of that. We don't know what he was saying to him. But ultimately, Trump wants to ensure in the future these big pharma companies are in the US and not here.
Kate English from Deloitte, how worried should Ireland be by all of this?
I think, as you've rightly said, kind of already this morning, or what we heard come through from last night, is a change in approach than what we've been experiencing over the last few weeks. And I think that is what has created that real stir there today. But as you said as well, there's still so much unknown with this. We really don't know what would be the outcome. Will it be a solution or a plan put in place for him by April 1st? And what would be the implementation of it after that? I think when we look at it from an Irish perspective, all of this, when we take a step back, is that we've kind of gotten used to for the last three decades of where globalization was the key economic theme. And Ireland was really able to thrive on that. You know, we've repeatedly said we're a small, open economy, and that's how we have made our economic success. The US is Ireland's largest bilateral trade partner as well. So we do have direct exposure from an economic standpoint and from our public finances as well. And, you know, this kind of move from globalization to protectionist policies, there's been an escalation of it this week and over the last few months, but we've seen this kind of slowly bubbling for the last few years, and certainly in 2024. And you could almost nearly trace it back to the economic shock of or energy shock of the Ukraine war, or even some of the supply chain shocks that came from COVID. And it's since then that we've started to see economies almost take a step back from that interdependence or reliance that we had on global supply chains and look more towards how can we do things domestically instead. Today brings that to a whole new level, but that is the overarching theme that is coming from this and is building on last year. And for Ireland, we need to ask, well, how do we continue to thrive and grow in a global economic context that is quite different to what we have based a lot of our economic growth on? There is that very large exposure to our medical and pharmaceutical products or industry. They account for over 57% of the value of good exports that leave Ireland to go to the US. So that's where there's a real exposure. There's a little bit in transport and manufacturing kind of equipment as well, but it's very much so in your pharma goods.
Okay,
so I think Ireland needs to look at what do we do domestically.
Yeah, but hold on. Surely all of these companies that have located in Ireland, be it in pharma or tech or whatever, have done so not just because of the lower taxes they pay here, but because it's a base for sales into the European Union, Africa, Asia, whatever. Will they be happy with the idea of having to reshore back into the United States if they find that it's then far more difficult for them to sell profitably outside of the United States of America?
I think you raise a good point, Matt, is that there's many different reasons as to why a company is located in a certain country. And yes, for us here in Ireland, a lot of them, it is that gateway to Europe. And they will still want to have gateway hubs in different locations. It's also down to, you know, demographics, educational factors in there as well. And that hasn't changed here. And there's also an element, too, of that we know large multinational corporations and also domestic corporations within Ireland as well, they plan for the long term too. A long term, we still need access into many different economic blocks or economic trading hubs. So as much as today's news is a sharp change in narrative than what we've seen over the last few weeks, and yes, it is risky for Ireland, we have exposure to it, I'm not calling it a doomsday scenario just yet, or indeed that kind kind of, you know, proportion of multinationals that are here in Ireland up sticks and leaving. I don't believe that is the case.
Okay, Kate English from Deloitte, thank you. Paul Colgan, just a couple of things to finish with you. Firstly, Apple got a mention, didn't it, the tax case in Ireland from Donald Trump last night. What did he have to say about that?
Well, he said that US companies, tech companies, had been treated really badly, pointed to the tax judgment, the $16 billion that was returned to the Irish Exchequer. But he also highlighted that Google had been targeted, that the EU Commission was going after these companies and he was going to bring that to an end. And it echoes comments made by Mark Zuckerberg, chief executive of Meta, a few weeks ago, where he likened the regulation of his company and others to tariffs. So that's the prism they're viewing this through.
Well, entirely self-serving on Zuckerberg's part, presumably. But the last thing is, could this persuade the European Union to get the finger out when it comes to economic reform, where we have a lot of stagnant economies across Europe, that this could be the fillip that is required to actually to get our act together on this side of the Atlantic?
Yeah, well, you had Mario Draghi's report last year, which caused a bit of a stir, and certainly the French and the Germans are floundering both economically and politically. That's the issue. They're also, on the one hand, they're being encouraged by Donald Trump to cut VAT and so on, and on the other, spend more money on their military. We heard the US Defence Secretary today saying the US mightn't be here forever in Europe. So they're having to contend with all these competing priorities, but certainly they're going to have to get their act together on developing indigenous industry and dynamic new technologies.
Paul Colgan, economic journalist, thank you.
The Last Word on Today FM.
A listener here says, Matt, stop with the scaremongering. Irish people's livelihoods at the centre of all of this. Large multinational companies invested in Ireland. They don't plan capital spending based on election cycles. They plan years and years in advance. Well, a couple of things I say to their listener. We're not scaremongering. We're dealing with a very legitimate news story. Exactly for the reason that you said, Irish people's livelihoods are at the centre of all of this. And even if large multinational companies invest on the basis of long-term plans rather than election cycles, Donald Trump is ripping up everything on the basis on which they planned, and that is why we're discussing it on the programme this evening. Another thing that he wants is more Europeans driving American cars. He thinks that the tariff on US cars that EU charges of 10% is putting us off buying them. Shane O'Donoghue, editor of CompleteCar.ie, if those tariffs were to be removed or reduced to the US level on European cars of 2.5%, would you see a lot of Irish people buying American cars?
Hi, Matt. No, I'd predict you'd see zero. In fact, if we put in some incentive to buy American cars, say an extra 2.5%, I still don't think Irish people would buy American cars. They are so different. The American market and American market cars are very different to European cars for the most part. Now, there is crossover, but for the most part, the cars that Donald Trump is talking about, we don't want them. They're not what we want over here.
Now, is that just because our left-hand drive, which would work in continental Europe, but wouldn't work here? Or could they easily adapt their runs to have right-hand drive for Ireland?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, in manufacturing of cars, there are well-proven, easy ways to be changing cars from left and right-hand drive. That's a non-issue whatsoever. The issue is that the cars are developed, not because the steering wheel is on the wrong side, because they're developed for local tastes. I mean, there are many models that we have in Europe that are also sold in the States, but I would suggest there's probably as many again that are developed specifically for the North American market. And actually, I will say, it's not just the USA, it's probably also in Canada and some other countries around the world, but they're not for European tastes, and that's nothing to do with the tariff.
But in what way? Isn't a car a car? How could it be that different?
I'm lucky enough in my job to drive everything in cars all over the world, and I've driven quite a few American cars, and some are absolutely brilliant, but the average car in the States, a mass market car, it's just not as high quality. It isn't as good on the road. But on top of that, one of the biggest things is that cars in the USA are generally larger. So one of the biggest selling vehicles on the US roads is a big pickup truck, which there's probably one or two or three of them around Ireland. People have imported them, and they're just ginormous. They're way too big for our roads. They're not what people want, and they're, our roads are just not set up for that.
Okay. We do have one major American car maker in our top 10 list of companies, and that's Ford. But again, are the cars that Ford sell in Ireland different to the type of cars they sell in the US?
Yeah, for the most part, they are. I mean, there has been crossover in the past, and there will be again, and there is some now. But the range that's available in America is much wider, and the cars are larger in general. What we would consider to be a mid-size SUV in Ireland is considered to be a compact in the US, and that kind of shows the difference in mentalities. And I honestly don't believe that a change in tariff will make any difference whatsoever. It's just people in Ireland and in Europe in general just don't want those cars. They're not what they buy.
Yeah, I see Ford are the ninth biggest selling brand in Ireland. It used to be much bigger in Ireland, though, wasn't it? Or was that just down to historical reasons because of car manufacturing in Cork?
No, well, that partially probably helped. Ford for a long time was seen as part of the Irish culture, but actually, as consumers moved towards SUVs more, unfortunately, it kind of left Ford behind. It kind of got outpaced by its rivals, and it didn't keep up with the pace of development. And likewise, it hasn't come out with enough EVs. It is now, but it kind of lagged for a while. So it feels like Ford has undone itself, and whereas its competitors have come on in leaps and bounds.
Okay, and of course there is one other major American car manufacturer, and that's Tesla. Although the Teslas that come to Ireland, do they come from the United States or do they come from China, where Elon Musk has a lot of them manufactured?
I believe most of them do come from Shanghai, actually. Now, that isn't always very clear, but my understanding that it is that they do. But they don't come with huge tariff yet. I believe that will be going up. But even so, they are, in general, they're really good value. They're very well priced. But despite that, they're nowhere near as successful in Ireland as they are in, say, the USA.
And why is that, do you think? Which is ironic, because we keep hearing that the USA, that they're not taking to electric cars, that they love their petrol engine cars. So why is it that the Tesla is proportionately more successful in the US than it is in Ireland or in Europe?
I can only go on my own opinion on that, to be honest. I think there is there's a type of person that likes Teslas and there's a type of person that doesn't. And that was even before Elon Musk became to the fore with his antics recently. But some people love them and some people just don't like them at all. And on top of all that, of course, the take-up of electric cars in Ireland has been slower than predicted. And obviously Teslas are only electric, so they can only capture a certain part of the market as it is.
But if Trump was to get involved in a trade war over cars, would that be damaging, if not to most American brands which don't sell major numbers in the European Union, but would it be very damaging to Tesla, do you think, as the one that perhaps has the most potential?
I don't know. I can't really see how it would be damaging. Sales of US cars are just so low in Europe in general. I think it's almost a non-issue, and it's just another political punch, I suppose, that Donald Trump's administration are pulling. I don't think so. I mean, I think a larger effect we'll see is potentially the Elon Musk effect.
Okay, right. Thank you very much for that, Shane O'Donoghue from CompleteCar.ie.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.